Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Serious news, seriously entertaining. The Gatos and Chad Show.
All right, everybody, I'm Barry Markson in for Gatos today. Hope everybody's having a great Thursday. Nice cool temperatures out there as we get going. We'll get Gatos on the line.
All right, Barry.
There he is.
Now?
Hey, Gatos, how are you?
So I'm at home. You are at the radio station.
I was getting a little worried about you.
No, I'm here. And we told you yesterday my wife has COVID.
Yes.
And
how's
we'll
she
talk
doing?
About that in a second. She's doing good. We got a lot of stuff to get to today. We've got this abortion law in Texas. I'm glad you're on the show. You're a lawyer. You can tell us about it in a few minutes. Is it coming to Arizona? The audit, now it's delayed again. We're going to talk about that. ASU has a football game tonight. What are the rules and parameters of going and watching a college football game at Sun Devil Stadium? We'll discuss it all. So it's a very, very busy day. Hey, you know what's weird about COVID? I just kind of realized, I don't know, not that I realized, it's like kind of a light went off in my head. I was so concerned with my wife getting COVID that all I cared about were the symptoms, and all I was thinking about was, well, let's just make sure that you're okay. Let's make sure you don't land in the hospital. You're vaccinated. You're tough. You taught for 30 years. Every kid has come in with some sort of a illness, and you know your immune system is made of steel. But like the thing that I got worried about yesterday was, well, how is she going to do over the next few days? Because you know, even if you're vaccinated, you could have some really bad symptoms. I know one friend who had a 104 degree temperature.
Yeah.
And you know, he was vaccinated. We have a friend who's a teacher. She went to the hospital for 2 weeks and she was vaccinated. So that was what was on as a husband. That was on my heart. I wanted her to be fine. But it's interesting though. You know, COVID ruins everything, man. It does. It ruins everything. I'll give you just the example. Well, I'm, you know, upstairs and she's downstairs, right? And she's doing well. You know, she's got the, it's been a couple days now and she's got a little cough and a little sore throat, but it's really not too bad. A little headache, but, you know, thank God for this vaccine. But she's not worried about that. I'm the one that's worried about that. I'm worried about her health. She knows that she's going to be fine. What COVID has done for so many people is it has ruined opportunities for once-in-a-lifetime things, like a trip,
yeah,
or a wedding, or your kid's graduation that you couldn't go to. Or me, I couldn't go last two Marches ago. I had to cancel my trip to New York to see my mother, and that was really before COVID hit. But as it was hitting, I had to cancel the trip because we didn't know enough about it. She ended up passing away from COVID. So, you know, the two things that we're going to miss because my wife has COVID, it's crushing her.
Yeah.
It's crushing her. And I realized it, but only to a point, because as a husband, you want your wife to be healthy. You want your wife to get through COVID as fast as possible. You listen, I'm the biggest hypochondriac in the world. I don't care if I get it. I want her to be okay. It doesn't matter. I'm not even thinking about me. But, you know, we were supposed to go to Jamaica on Sunday with her sister and her niece and their husbands.
Right.
And her sister's turning 50 and our niece is turning 30. It's a one-in-a-lifetime trip. And we had to cancel it. And it wasn't a vacation. And I'm starting to realize that. It wasn't a vacation. It was a once-in-a-lifetime trip. When are we ever going to go on a vacation with her sister, with her niece, when they have these huge birthdays? And we had planned this, you know, a long time ago. And so she's mourning that. And I've got to realize that because, you know, it's not only that she has COVID. I'm worried about the symptoms. She's mourning the trip because life is about experiences. And life is about getting out and going and being with people. And, you know, I was so concerned. You know, I'll give you an example, finding the hospital that we were going to go to, or finding the hospital that had those, what is it called, Barry, a mononuclear, what is monoclear?
Yeah, the treatment for COVID that works, supposedly, right? Yeah.
Right. The Regeneron.
Right.
So I was worried about finding the monoclonal antibody place where you go get an infusion. And she wasn't thinking about that.
Yeah. Now
she was thinking about going and being in Jamaica on the beach on a vacation that we planned.
Yeah, this is a tough time for it to happen for you and your wife, Gatos. I mean, you have a wedding coming up this weekend of a longtime friend, somebody that your wife even taught in second grade, and that's you're not able to go to that now. And then you have this incredible trip, which wasn't just a vacation; it was more than that. It's amazing, and that's what's happening right now. And people are getting COVID, or they're getting they're adjacent to someone with COVID, and now they have to stay home for 10 days and quarantine. It's having a big effect. It hasn't gone away. And I say this to people all the time now. This is the effect of people not getting the vaccine. This is never going to end.
It's extended.
Yeah, we could have been done. If another 25-30% of the population said, I'm going to get vaccinated, none of this would be happening. We'd still have a little COVID, but we wouldn't have these surges. We wouldn't have all these people around who have it, and that's what's giving it to people. Even those who are vaccinated are getting it. I mean, it's crazy.
Let me give you the other part of it now.
Yeah.
Okay, so her symptoms are mild. Great. That's great. I'm upstairs. I feel fine. I don't think I have it. I'll get tested tomorrow. I'll be fine. The other part of it is the wedding you talked about.
Yeah.
So we were going to go to a wedding, one of our reporters at KTAR, Allie Vetner, she's one of our best reporters. My wife taught her in second grade.
Yeah.
She's a family friend. I opened the door for her at KTAR, and she just she ran through it, went from an intern to all this other stuff. She's a star. And, you know, she just needed, maybe just a little help. Everybody needs a little help getting in the door. And then she took it from there. But we've my wife has known her since she was six. And she's getting married this weekend. And we don't get to go. And it's heartbreaking. And it's really weighing on my wife. And so today the doorbell rang. And, I heard it. I was upstairs. I didn't answer it. And 20 minutes later, I went down. Maybe there's a package or something, you know. There was a note from Allie to us, and there was a bottle of champagne, and it just said, toast, I don't remember exactly what it said. We want you to toast with us. You can't be there, I understand, I know. But toast with us on the day that we get married, and we'll celebrate all together another time.
Wow.
It just killed my wife. It just killed her. And it was such a sweet thing. It was such a sweet thing. But I found myself having to go downstairs and put my arms around her.
Oh, Gatos.
You have to. And by the way, I'll say, both of us were wearing a mask. I know how silly that sounds in your own house.
Right. We were in clothes? I'm just checking.
Yes, we were.
All right,
we were.
Well, good.
Maybe not later, but we were. But you can't. But Barry, you know this. You can't just let someone.
No, I know.
Look at a note like that and start to weep and do nothing.
No,
because our job is to we have to console our wives. So I just put my arms around her and I said, "Listen, it's going to be all right." And so it's been crazy the last couple days.
That's very emotional.
Me being worried about the symptoms. But really, my wife is the one that is mourning these two, and they're not, there's these two life experiences this weekend that will never come around again.
Yeah.
And that's the tough part of COVID.
You're definitely going to miss out, and it's not going away. We had, in Arizona, just today, 3,470 new cases today. The numbers are going up, not down.
Right.
So this is bad. Well, I'm sorry you and your wife are missing out on that. I'm taking your place at the wedding, though.
Thank you.
I mean, Allie doesn't know that, but I'm just going to crash your name
you
tag.
Should.
Your name tag will still be there. I'm grabbing it. I assume you're taking care of the gift. I'm just going to be there to fill the
I'll
seat.
I'll cut the check. All right. It's the Gatos and Chad Show. Barry Markson is in today. Chad will be back on Monday. Later I'll give you some rules of the house that my wife and I have come up with as she has COVID and is doing very well. Physically, emotionally, it's been tough. Barry, I'm glad you're in today because you're a lawyer. Abortion in Texas is now basically illegal.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if this is going to come to Arizona next. So I'm glad that you can explain this to us. Why don't we do that in just a moment?
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The Gatos and Chad Show, 2 till 6.
All right, Barry, let's talk about what's happening in Texas.
Yeah, this is amazing what's going on right now.
So take us through it because, you know, I've looked into it. Obviously, I've studied what happened in Texas, and it looks like you can get an abortion in Texas, but if the 6 week hits, you can't. You have to do it before 6 weeks, and most women don't know that they're pregnant around 5 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, here's what happened. Texas passed this law a few months ago, and look, this happens all the time, Gatos, right? States, Arizona has done this over the years. You pass a restrictive abortion law, and then somebody, you file a suit and you ask for a stay, and it goes up, and they grant the stay, and then you go through whether or not it's a constitutional law, and sometimes they're allowed to stay on the books, and oftentimes they're struck down as being unconstitutional. And here, the Texas, and there's been other laws like this, the Texas law, that the heart of it, it says that you can't have an abortion in Texas once there's any any electrical heart rhythm found.
Okay.
And that's, the doctors will say that's generally at 6 weeks, and that's where you're getting that 6 week time from. So that's the law. Now, normally that would be struck down as contrary to Roe v. Wade, and it's not the law of the land that you're not allowed to restrict a woman's right to an abortion up till the fetus is, could live, which are generally say is 22 to 24 weeks. And that's been the law of the land. Now, there's other states that have passed laws about the 6 weeks. They've all been found to be unconstitutional. They're not being enforced. They're not there. The Texas law is different because the way they did this law, it specifically says you can't have an abortion after in essence 6 weeks, but the government is not allowed to enforce the law. So it's a law that says the government can't enforce it. The people who can enforce it is anybody else, but only through civil remedies. So, Gatos, if you, and by the way, you don't even have to live in Texas to do this, what I'm about to tell you. If you know somebody in Texas who gets an abortion and you know the Uber driver who drove her there, or the boyfriend who helped, or the family members who helped pay for it, or anybody who went with her just to provide comfort, or the clinic where she went to have the abortion, the doctors, the nurses, you can sue those people. And if you win, anybody can do it, anybody. And if you win, you get your attorney's fees back and $10,000. And again, keep in mind, people from other states can do it. Anybody can do it. So you're basically putting a target on the head, on the back of everybody who might be even just a friend or a relative who's trying to help a woman. And now, so they made it, in essence, it's illegal. You can't do it. I mean, no, the abortion clinics in Texas are shutting down, or they're saying it's only about 10 to 15% of abortions in Texas that occur before that six-week time. So they're basically making it almost illegal to have an abortion in Texas. There's no out clause or exception for rape or for incest.
I wanted to go into that.
Yeah, there are very little exceptions for health of the mother, and there's a couple there, but it's very narrowly written. So it's almost impossible. It is whatever you're feeling on abortion is. It's, and it stopped at midnight today. I mean, this just happened.
Yeah. So if you are sexually assaulted,
yep,
you can't get an abortion in Texas.
Nope.
If you are sexually assaulted in Texas, if you were to try and get an abortion, the rapist could sue his victim.
Yeah. Well, no, let me be clear. You can't sue the woman getting the abortion. She's the only person. So that's how, it's a very unique and complicated way they wrote this law. It's interesting. I think it's legally interesting. I'm not trying to weigh in on the idea. But it's so that's how they get around this thing where it's against Roe v. Wade, because there's no penalty to the woman. So if a doctor performs an abortion and 17 people drive her there to support her, the woman's fine. She has her abortion. Nobody can touch her. She's fine. And the state can't stop her, and they won't stop her. But anybody can sue all 17 people who helped her.
Wow.
And that's going to stop it. Because how can you be a clinic if you're going to get sued every 15 seconds by, and not even just one suit? You could be sued by, you know what's going to happen. You're going to get sued by 150 people around the country who are going to do this for a living. It's crazy.
Okay, so let me ask this question. I knew someone who was pregnant, and the baby had died in her womb.
Wow.
When that happens, you know, and it was quite late in the pregnancy, do you have to wait to deliver the child? Or can they go in and abort the fetus. Well, not the fetus. Abort the baby because the baby has died. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is there, because women have an option when it comes to that. It's awful. It's like, you know, you're so-and-so weeks pregnant,
right,
and it's a very wanted pregnancy, and you learn the baby you were carrying had some sort of catastrophic, fatal diagnosis, and they say, listen, you can continue the pregnancy knowing the outcome is that this baby is going to die.
It's a stillborn, yeah.
Or you continue the pregnancy and the chance that you could carry it to term, knowing that you're going to deliver a deceased baby in the hospital. Yeah. Do these women have a choice whether to go and have that procedure? Because
no.
If the baby is gone,
yeah,
can't they have that procedure?
If the baby is already gone, it's already dead inside the mother, then I don't think that's an abortion as contemplated by this law. But if the baby's still alive, if there's a chance that the baby can be born and be alive, then the mom can't do it. And Gatos, you know, just in more practical terms, forget whether or not you're pro or pro abortion or anti abortion. If you're not pro, you know what I'm saying. But there, people, you get pregnant and you have tests done to say, hey, is the baby a healthy baby? Is the baby going to have Down syndrome? Is the baby, you know what I'm saying? And people make decisions based on that sort of a thing. Well, those tests don't happen until about week 10, which is a month after this cutoff. So the things that all of us do now, when we're pregnant, all couples do or all women do, even those things that everybody does are no longer going to be allowed or useful to the mom. And, you know, as I was reading this, it's interesting. Abortion is always one of these issues. People believe it. Anti-abortion folks are very strongly against this, obviously. And I think those convictions are sincerely held. But it's one of these things that people have been railing about for 50 years, never really thinking it was going to change. And now that something's changed, I'm curious to see what the population really says. When suddenly you find out, as the example you're giving, Gatos, that you're going to have a baby who's going to die or who's going to be so unhealthy and have a painful life, and you don't want to have that for a baby or for any person. And so you would normally, most reasonable people would abort that baby.
Right.
Or someone who's raped by their father, and now you're going to force this girl to have the baby. I mean, these are the things that we're going to deal with now in real life. This is happening now. And, I mean, starting today, it's happening in Texas. And I got to tell you, this is going to come to Arizona. I mean, you know we're going to see this bill and this bill passed out of the legislature if we keep a Republican legislature in January. It's going to happen.
We'll talk about that a little bit later if it is coming to Arizona. We've got a lot to get to. The storms in New York City and New Jersey were crazy. Plus, if you're sending your kid to college, what if their roommate is unvaccinated? What can you do as a parent to keep your college kid safe? We're going to talk about all that. It's all coming up on the Gatos and Chad Show.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Serious news, seriously entertaining. The Gatos and Chad Show.
Hey, Barry, did you see that weather on the East Coast last night from Ida?
Yeah, that was that's something else.
Dude, did you see the water pouring into the New York subway system?
I did.
I have never, because I'm from that area.
Yeah.
Seen it. I have never seen it like that. I mean, there were buses that were underwater.
It was an incredible amount of water. And yeah, the subway just filling up like that. I mean, it could use a good scrubbing, Gatos. I mean, maybe it's like a power wash.
It is. It is. And, you know, I'm trying to think, who do I know in New York City? Oh, that's right. Mark Remillard from ABC News. And he joins us now on KTAR. Mark, you were in the city last night when that whole thing went down, right?
I was. I was very lucky up in my area where I was. I mean, I closed the windows and I didn't really know anything was going on.
My gosh, when you looked out at the street, though, I mean, did you see all this? Wasn't it crazy?
No. So this morning, it looked like a normal day. It was really weird. Like we were watching the tree when we were paying attention to it. My wife and I, we were watching the tree outside of our window just fling back and forth. We're like, one of those branches is going to snap. This
right.
morning, nothing on the street. Looks like a normal day. It
Isn't
was really bizarre. And then I'm looking around on social media and see all this stuff. And the subways are filled up. They're suspended. Buses are like trudging through water.
Wow.
I got very lucky.
My gosh, Mark Remillard's joining us. You know, the real reason we wanted to have you on was you're running a really interesting story for ABC News. And we wanted you to tell us about it because a lot of folks have sent their kids to ASU, to U of A, to GCU, to NAU, And there's a really interesting new study out about college students going back to school and the potential for outbreaks. What have you discovered?
Yeah, so this was a CDC study that was published today looking at, they didn't identify the university, but it was, they said it was an urban university in Chicago. And basically, the report was looking at an outbreak that happened at this school following spring break, that so March last year, or March earlier this year. So they students would leave campus to go either travel for vacation or go see family. And then they came back and they had some clusters of outbreaks. They had in total over a couple months, 158 cases. And this, so it was really looking at two things. One, that you have the travel aspect of students who are congregating in dorms, then they leave to go on break and they come back, and which is kind of what we're going to be seeing right now, right? As the fall semester starts up, students who are coming from their homes where they live, wherever, to universities like ASU, NAU, and others. So that was one aspect of it. But what was interesting about this particular study was that it took place and is looking at a timeline back in March and April, and college-age students, for the most part, were not eligible for the vaccines at that time, by and large. And in fact, in this study, 66% of the people who got sick were unvaccinated, 30% were only partially vaccinated, so they only had one shot, and then only 2% were fully vaccinated. So the vast majority of people not fully vaccinated, and you saw these outbreaks occur. And what the CDC was saying is that this can demonstrate the risks of what happens when students leave to go on break, either spring break or, in our case coming up here, going to be summer break coming back for the fall semester. And if they are unvaccinated and then congregating in dorms and social settings around studying, things like that, there's the potential for outbreaks to occur.
Mark, good to have you on the show, man. I want you to stay safe in New York. And my goodness, the rain over there was crazy. It's good to have you back on.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Mark. All right,
pretty interesting. Well, the rain is crazy interesting. This new study is also interesting. You know, Barry, was the president of the University of Arizona has said this a couple times. If Ducey didn't put in that state law, he would say, if you're coming to the U of Arizona or whatever they're calling the school now, you'd have to be vaccinated. He would mandate the vaccine. He goes beyond mandating the masks.
Yeah.
He would mandate the vaccine. A lot of colleges have done that. And a lot of parents are like, that's not fair. And I would say, well, you have a choice. You either get the vaccine or your kid can go to another school. Yeah. You always have a choice. You just might not like the choices.
No, and Gatos, I got to tell you, I'm all for that. I mean, I have a son down at U of A. He was a freshman last year, stayed in the dorms and everything. He was there for the year. Never went to a class because everything was virtual. Even in the dorms, couldn't congregate with people in the dorm, couldn't make friends. He's not allowed to have other people in his dorm room. And COVID was everywhere. This is last year, before the vaccine and everything else. But it was awful. So I was hoping they would say everybody has to be vaccinated because I don't want them to go back to that. I want him. This year he's a sophomore. He's now been down there a couple weeks. First time he's had an actual college class in person with a professor there.
That's good.
I want him to keep doing that. And, you know, he's telling me people are getting COVID. It's happening again. A lot of people down there aren't vaccinated. And I don't want them to go back to virtual. So a lot of universities are requiring vaccines. A lot of places are starting to require. You saw this today, right, in Chicago, where the Bulls play, the Blackhawks play. They said you can't come see a game unless you're vaccinated or take a test right before now. That they're going to see more and more of that. And a couple of places are saying, like where the Nets, and even the players have to be vaccinated or they will not be allowed in the building.
I had some friends pull their kids out of U of A last year because the experience was so bad.
Yeah.
Being in your room, being isolated, trying to get together with friends. The one thing U of A did well is you could go get a test and get it back immediately.
Yeah.
And I know of one of my friends has a daughter there. She and four other girls wanted to celebrate someone's birthday. They went and all got tested at the same time. They wanted to be safe. One of the five had COVID.
Oh, wow.
If they all went and hung out that day, they all would have had COVID. So some of these schools are doing a good job to try and, you know, do the best mitigation that they can. Other schools are just saying you have to be vaccinated to get here.
Yeah.
All right. It's the Gatos and Chad Show. Barry Markson is in. We've got so much to talk about, plus the All-Arizona Daily Downloads coming up. The audit, for crying out loud. I think it's delayed a couple more weeks. We'll discuss it. Stick around.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Drive home with the Gatos and Chad Show.
Oh, I'm looking at a picture of him right now. He's got the horns. He's got he's got a dead raccoon on his head.
Love that guy.
He's bearded. His face is painted red, white, and blue. He likes to think he's a patriot, except he's a piece of crap. He's the QAnon shaman from Arizona, and apparently he's reached a plea deal with federal prosecutors. So what's this dope's name? Jacob Chansley? Okay. So Jacob Chansley, who entered the Capitol and the chamber of the Senate during the January 6th attack, has a plea hearing scheduled for tomorrow. So, Barry, you being the lawyer, what do we know about this plea deal? Because, you know, I'd like to see this guy rot, just like everybody else who went into that building.
Yeah, me too. And he's been charged with six things. We can't tell what he pled to yet. I doubt it's all six. It's probably one or two of those. He was facing up to 28 years in prison. I don't think that's going to happen. Nothing close to that. And his lawyers, you know, trying to say, hey, this guy's not violent. He didn't do anything other than go in. He has mental illness. He's trying to do everything to make it sound like it's less than what it is. But we'll see. I mean, the judges so far have only taken pleas from people who weren't violent. Nobody who attacked police or law enforcement yet. And the sentences have been relatively low. They've been on the low end of the spectrum of where people, and some of the judges there, by the way, in that district, have expressed some concern about how low they are. That they don't think that the courts have been doing enough to make sure this doesn't happen again. You want to provide a deterrent. And so we'll see what they do with this guy who everybody knows. This is going to be national news. We'll see where this plays out tomorrow. On Friday. It's going to be on Friday.
Yeah, I don't go light on these guys, and I'll tell you why. How many dead officers do we have?
Yeah, exactly. Five, six now?
How many killed themselves?
Yeah, several.
Because of what happened at the Capitol. I don't care that this QAnon shaman idiot just walked in and he said he wanted to give a prayer or whatever. It doesn't matter. You walk in that building, you're just as bad as the worst person there.
Oh,
and you're all the same to me. And every single person there was the same to me. You're all a bunch of terrorists. That's what I think of them.
And he made violent threats. I mean, we don't hear about this, but he left, if you remember, Gatos, he left a note for Vice President Mike Pence on Pence's desk in the Senate chamber, calling him, quote, a child trafficking traitor. He said it's only a matter of time. Justice is coming. I mean, he's threatening the Vice President of the United States.
So, I guess we just don't care. I don't know. I mean, because, you know, there are some people, and I don't think there are a lot, but there's definitely some people on the right who say, listen, this wasn't that bad. I've had those conversations with people.
Yeah, I have
too. Just wasn't that bad. And I'm like, I look at you and I go, really?
We have people, we have Congress people here in Arizona, Gosar and Andy Biggs, who are literally saying that these people who broke the law, these are supposedly the rule of law congressmen, by the way, and these people who broke the law and attacked the government and attacked law enforcement and hurt people, that these people are somehow martyrs now and are being mistreated by the government just because they've been arrested and charged for these crimes that they obviously committed. It's incredible.
And I do want to say this. I'm so many friends on the right that think this thing was absolutely horrific.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrific. So I want to make sure that that's clear. There are some people on the right who say, hey, this wasn't that bad. It was blown out of proportion. But I think the majority of people who are on the right are right. Put it that way.
Yeah. I think most people look at what happened and were horrified. I mean, whatever side you're on, when it happened, even the people, the Congress people who are now trying to act like it didn't happen, even at the time, they were horrified. They were calling for the president to call off his mob. They were saying, this is awful. This can't keep happening. But when they saw the polls and how things changed, they changed their tune. But I agree with you. I think most people still look back on that and say this was ridiculous.
Well, I think in the shaman, you know, Chewbacca's illegitimate child is what he looks like. I think they tried to say that he was mentally ill, but, you know, I can't you just be a stupid moron in this world?
No, you definitely
you don't
can
have to be mentally ill to go to because they were just trying to get him off. They were using that. They were lying about that. The guy, for whatever reason, drank the Kool-Aid and he went and did what he did. He's stupid.
And Gatos, it wasn't just a one-time thing with this guy. I'm pretty sure I remember Mike Broomhead talking about this in the mornings, but that he had seen this guy at Republican events here in the Valley of the Sun dressed like that and doing the same sort of thing well before January 6th. So this was what this guy was doing. It's who he is, and it's what he believed. And now he's trying to say the right thing to get off. He wanted to get out of jail. Remember, this is a guy that didn't eat for 9 days, and he needed organic food and all the craziness.
Gosh.
He's a nut job, and I don't think he's mental illness. I don't know. But he needs to be punished for what he did. All these guys do.
Yeah, you can't just let them off the hook. Anybody who walked into that building is a domestic terrorist.
I agree.
All right. Hey, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, including the audit. We've got some news on Arizona's audit. Is it going to be delayed again? We're going to talk it on the old Arizona Daily Download. It's coming up next.